All right, welcome to the podcast number 17. We got Jessica and Justin Creech from Vulcan Towing here to come out and our first time having guests here. So welcome, guys.
Oh man, that's awesome. Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Couldn't think of any better partners.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Justin, I know I kind of gave you like a something that I thought would be cool to talk about, but this is really like we're not just business owners in the community. We also have a personal relationship that we have grown over the years. And so it's like, this is a special podcast because there could be levels of vulnerability that maybe you hadn't seen before because we have people that have gotten a chance to know us so well. So it's extra special for the viewers today, I think.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We get to travel with them. We get to go hang out with them.
We
do a lot of things on our personal time with them. I talk to Justin at least two or three times a day.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he's out of town, then I get to him about every 24 to 36 hours when he decides to pick up his phone.
Oh.
Then I blow up Jessica's phone. I'll be calling him like, hey, where's your boy?
Yeah.
You know, learn to disconnect while I'm out on the road.
And what you need.
You know, the phone rings constantly, as you're already well of.
You have a 24-hour business also.
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy.
And, if you guys didn't know, Vulcan Towing is the biggest towing company in the state of Alaska. And with our fleet of 120-plus vehicles, they are on our speed dial.
Yeah, they keep us on the road.
Yes.
Yeah. And we never like to see anybody off the road, but we're definitely there for that.
So. Amen.
Yeah.
So, Justin, one of the things that I know is trending in our industry right now is, what is the succession plan? Like, do you have an end game? And your business is in particularly so unique because you are in the process of that third generation shift now. And that is just fascinating to me that this has been something that not only have you've taken the seed of what your father started and then you grew the business to where it's at and now you're bestowing that upon your own children. And so can you tell us more about that journey?
Yeah, you know, when I took the business, when I bought the business from my dad in 2004, it was a lot smaller than this, so it was very manageable for just one person to manage. Now we have 60 plus employees, and we're going around the clock, and it's tougher now for say my son or my daughter to step in. So what we've done differently now is we've created this management team that is going to run. We got an accountant on the books now, and we have a general manager that's running the operations, and then you know my son is still pretty young. So it's going to take him probably a few more years to gather up the knowledge and being in the management position for a longer period of time before he's going to actually be able to take the reins of it, or if at all, you know.
Sure.
So we're kind of in this weird position right now with work where it's going to be really relying upon whether or not Dakota has the desire to move the business forward.
Right.
If not, we'll have to make that decision at that point. But we're in the we're in that phase right now where he's figuring his life out and everything else.
And he seems like he's in it. Like he's moving his capabilities up, and he seems like this is the direction I want to head. Mm-hmm. And really, I think that's something that we all need to consider when we have that person that we think could be the one. Sometimes they just don't show up ready to go.
Correct.
You have to come up with a plan on how to cultivate them and give them those capabilities and train them on up.
Yes.
And I think that's we want to do that for our children all day long. The fact that your son wants to do that is amazing.
Yes. And I'm encouraging him all day long. You know, let's go. You got to figure out how to deal with people on a daily basis and manage these guys and show up to work on time and, you know, be the first one in the door in the morning and the last one out at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. That's what it takes to run a business. And, you know, that's something that you have to learn. Most people aren't built that way. And especially the younger generation, it's going to be interesting in the next 10 years what this generation is going to be doing.
And we were talking about that earlier in our podcast about the different generations of younger in there and how to level yourself up to different levels of where they're at and where we're at. And, you know, if you think back in the day when your dad was running it, my dad was teaching me things and stuff. It was your way or the highway. And there was no middle ground. But now it's like, it's all middle ground. It's all gray. You know, it's all how you're dealing with things every day. And, you know, one thing I loved about when calling your phone and I would get your phone and you said, "Hi, this is Justin. And if you need to get in touch with me, you can call my son, Dakota." His number is, and I never called Dakota. He's like, "Man, I am, my phone is blowing up." I'm like, "Did you hear your dad's message? He left your phone. Is that what's going on?" But, you know, he took it like a champ. He was awesome. He was great about it. And that really helped you guys out because now we've all gotten in our motorhoming now and, you know, just taking off and doing our stuff and taking the team out and taking your friends out and taking your family out. That's really granted you guys a lot more flexibility in what you guys want to do.
Yeah, yeah. This is probably one of the most flexible times in my entire life existence. I mean, I started riding around in tow trucks when I was 13 years old with my dad. And so I've been around it my whole teenage and adult life. I mean, I was in a tow truck at 16 years old. I went to Bartlett High School and, you know, I'd drive the tow truck to school, park it in the parking lot. And then as soon as I got out at 2:30, I was in the tow truck and I was working. So I would pick my friends up and go to school in the morning and then I'd have to drop them off and I'd have to go straight to work afterwards. So, you know, this is something that I've done my entire existence. And it's really a relief to be able to do these things, be out, go travel around and motor home. And I think it's a shock to a lot of people that I'm taking off the time that I am, but I'm tired. I'm ready to go do something different, you know, and I haven't had a chance to do any of that stuff. So
well, I want to say a big part of that, sorry, is Jessica. I mean, your girl there, Jess, she loves to travel. She loves to do things. She brings out a lot in you and she brings out the adventurous side on you. And I think that's been awesome. I think you guys have been a great team.
Huge
on that.
Compliment.
Yeah.
For sure.
No, I mean, it's been great seeing you guys. I mean, that girl's a go-getter and she's out there moving and you're trying to keep up. And so same with my wife sometimes. It's just like, we're trying to figure out where we're going to go next. And shoot, I think we have 11 trips on the books for this season so far with whatever others we put in and trying to keep up with you guys now too. So it's just,
you know, not to change subjects on that, but man, once we got in that motorhome and we seen that freedom of that road, it changed everything.
I remember trying to talk you into that. Holy cow, I don't know about this. We're going to go rent one first. We're going to do it. You guys rented it. It's like, wow, this thing was a nightmare, but we're going to go buy one. Then you're in California, Florida, all this stuff, looking all over the United States for a motorhome. I'm like, shit, they're everywhere,
he's
Justin.
He's looking with you.
Oh, I'm looking. I'm sending them to you. I'm sending them Matt. I'm
no,
sending.
He's, I, he's no, looking I'm sending listings and sending them to Justin.
Oh, yes. To Justin, to Brent, to Matt, to all of us that we all what our get out plan
Man,
is. What are we going to go
a
do?
Diamond of a motorhome too.
We really got lucky with that one.
Well, and it was all meant to be.
It was.
When you got to that one, that's when you thought it was, and it wasn't right. And you weren't going to settle for something less than it was.
I mean,
California,
Texas,
Nevada, Colorado Springs, Texas, and then, you know, finally found one in Marble Falls.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I was going to do that.
You know, and I think it was much easier for us was because I was looking around and I found one and I called our buddy Rick and he did it. And I'm like, shit, it's in our price range. It's good. It's nice. It's got low miles. Let's send it up here. And we loved it. And as we speak right now, it's getting reupholstered. We found a place down in Florida that's reupholstering it for us.
Nice.
So Athena found some nice diamond stitching. It's going to go in the centers and different colors. So we're redoing the carpets, everything. So
now we just need to get our schedules to
match
up.
Amen.
And go cruise around.
So. Now we're ready for that.
We got some really exciting stuff that we'll get into here in just a little bit. But yeah,
cool.
Something we really want to talk to you about.
Awesome.
Future for Jessica and myself. So
good. Yeah. Kids? More kids?
No.
I never thought that was ever on the table.
Unless we're adopting.
Well,
it's
I figured
not possible.
Four legs.
You got lots of those. Yeah. Well, I figured you're just going to open up a greenhouse because I've seen your guys' house lately, and it looks like the next Bagoy's.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
Yeah,
it is.
Everything's out in the yard right now.
So. I saw that. I saw your employee sitting in the middle of the throne.
Yes.
It looked like the throne out there. Kenny.
On TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, it was on Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
He was sitting there in his white shorts like this, and I'm thinking, he is in the Garden of Eden right there.
Yeah. Walter the fish god.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so Walter. Tell him not to eat the apple.
What is he talking about?
So about 20.
You guys got to clue me in. I didn't see the post.
So about 20 years ago, Kenny and I, so his family had some property down at Anchor Point. We used to go fishing all the time down there. And one night we were all drunk and by the fire and we were like, oh yeah, let's create a fish god. So we took this log, you know, he's probably, you know, four, five foot tall. And we carved a face in him, and you know, we all have our initials in the back of him. And this a long time ago. He's been down in Anchor Point up until last year, and Kenny's dad sold the property, and he brought Walter back.
Oh, is that?
So every time we'd go fishing, we'd all sit next to him, and we'd drink beer with him, and we'd, you know, rub him on his head and stuff, and you know, he was just always part of the family.
There
so
you
now
go.
We have him back, and he's in our yard now. And he's got a plant on top of his head.
He's got crazy hair.
Got Walter.
Yeah, we got Walter, man. He's back and he's live. You
know? He's generation two now. He's going to the next location.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, so, that's cool.
That's something.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. You know, it's just history, something fun.
You know, how was it like? Did you and your dad, when you decided to fully take the reins, like, what was that? Like, for people that are, they have a child who's ready to take on the business and they're working this out in their mind, like, I'm sure it probably wasn't like, oh, I'm going to get my lawyer and this lawyer. Like, how did you navigate through that piece, Justin? Because nobody ever talks about that. Like, how do you stay respectful to your parents? How do you not, but yet how do you, they have their way of doing things. Like, we've seen this go incredibly wrong. Like, how did you manage to navigate this with Willie?
So back when that happened, so I would have been 24.
How old is Dakota right now?
I bought the business 26.
Okay.
I was 24. I'd already been working in the towing, you know, just like Dakota has too, because Dakota's been with me since, you know, he was 18, and then he ventured off into the medical field for a little bit. But back on my dad, so I've been 24 years old. He had just turned 50, and he got really sick. He had 6 bypass heart surgery, so we went into the hospital. So that kind of threw everything into effect at that point. He came up with an agreement. I bought the business for, I think it was $800,000 at the time. Full note, attorneys, all that other stuff, and just made him payments. And it hasn't always been an easy deal. Of course, my dad got better. He's still alive today.
Yep.
But the 6 bypass surgery, heart surgery, that really scared him, and he thought he was maybe not going to make it. So we transferred everything over to me and started making payments, and then just never looked back.
Wow.
I mean, we had 5 trucks, I think, back then.
And now how many do you guys have?
43 or 44. I just sold some and we bought some new ones. Yeah, I think we got 43 or 44.
Oh, it was the newest, nicest stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. We just bought, I don't know, 7 or 8 new trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Jessica, how was it for you when you came into this whole family dynamic? I mean, the Creech family is a pretty strong.
Yeah, because it's not just your, like, your brother works there, your cousin works there.
Your best friends work there.
Yeah, I got best friends that are working there now. And it's really been a trying, challenging time, I tell you.
Yeah.
So you come in and you guys are dating for how long and then you get married?
2 years.
Yep. Okay.
I worked there for 2 years. I jumped on board like pretty quick.
Boy, within a couple, 2-3 months.
I did, because my job was very strenuous. So, that took a lot of time, and he needed help. And I'm like, he was trying to do it all himself. And I'm like,
we were just getting
this is, I was like, we need a management team. This is too much for one person. You can't do it all. I can't do it all. We can't together do it all. Like, it's just, you know. So that's when we started getting things lined out to get a management team and figuring out where we needed help the most. So, and it was, you know, I worked in the office realm of things, so I knew how to do a little bit of it, but not to the scale that we're at now.
Especially, I mean, with your contracts in the city and the state and DWIs and all the different hoops you have to jump through and the fines you can get and all the different things. I mean, I remember being over your office and hearing you guys, and it was just like, you know, and no different than ours. It's just, you know, so much going on. Phone numbers, everybody's wanting you at one time, and you're just like, you know, you're always going at it, and you know, it's just a lot to take in, and especially bringing a new staff and stuff in, and then you come in as a new one, and then you have
the stigma of the girlfriend.
You're the girlfriend of the owner now,
and
now things are changing because she's helping Justin do these implements, and there was some pushback a little bit in the beginning. Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
How did you guys stay aligned in that season?
Communicate.
And
there really wasn't ever any. Yeah. We never gotten into any kind of.
I don't think we've ever been into one argument before. in our whole relationship.
Well, you're going to be our mentors now.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. You're going to be our mentors now because we're going to.
Yeah, no. And I think that's maybe what different between Jessica and I, my relationship versus any other relationship I've ever been into.
And I can say the same.
We really just, we're meant to be together. We get along in every aspect. We do have differences, but it's never an argument. We never get mad. And we never fight. We don't throw things. I mean, none of that stuff ever happens. You know, I still look at her today and, you know, she's just beautiful. You know, I love every aspect of her. So it's, I think maybe that has a lot to play in it too. So.
Jessica, you, I mean, coming in and strong personality types, the brothers and the kids and everybody else.
It was a challenge.
I mean, she almost walked out.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I mean, her and I had lots of talks.
Yeah. What happened when you almost walked out?
We were at the racetrack and I can't remember. I think it was like a fundraiser for something that he did every year. And all the kids were there. So Shelby, Dakota, Lacey, Aiden. And
those are Justin's, the kids that Justin brought.
Yep. Yep. So I got to meet them all. And I was like super excited because I'm like, you know, and I wasn't going out as like at that point, we weren't really, I mean, we were hanging out. It wasn't like I'm his girlfriend.
Sure.
No, I was merely just
testing the waters.
Yeah. I was coming out to meet everyone. And it was just like, you know, the beams were on me from all of them. And they stood next to him. He was not allowed to move across the table. Like it was like guard was up. Mm-mm. And they just—I didn't get a warm, fuzzy feeling at all.
You're like, it scared you're gonna
me. Fight. I'm like, I have a daughter, and I'm like, oh, this isn't gonna work if it's gonna be like this. So I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be able to come.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, and I was on the phone with him, but then I went to spin class, which I did 6 days a week with Paul Landis, and he's like, no, you have to go. He's the nicest guy. You just gotta look past the kids; they'll. They're just kids. They don't know.
I remember Paul telling me this story, too. Yeah. I remember this.
We were riding front row at spin. I remember clear as day. And he's like, you need to go. So he ended up picking me up and driving me out to the racetrack. And so.
That's funny that we both
simmered
met you
in
through
that
Paul.
Uncomfortable space.
Yeah.
I just realized that. Right. We just both met you through Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never have any idea. The same with my relationship with Lane Nichols. I met him through Paul.
Wow.
Paul is really a
connector.
Yeah,
he's a connector.
Yeah, he's a big connector. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Jess, tell me the rest of it.
So, well, I mean, it's just, it's all memories since then.
Yeah. And now you guys shoot. I mean, how many employees did you guys have when you took it over, Justin? You had 16, you said?
Employees when I took over in 2004?
From your dad? Yeah.
Oh, six?
Six. Wow.
Yeah. That was including myself.
Sure.
And then, so we had like six employees.
And I think when I started, it was under 20.
Yeah.
Then we went from 20 to 60.
And we were back at the old shop. That was the old building. Yeah.
So they were, you guys were at the old shop. And then.
Then we moved to 88.
In November, after we started dating, we moved into 88th.
Yeah.
Or, 88th.
Yeah,
88th, yeah. It was that quick.
It's been a building process, and you know, through all of it, though, it amazes me that we did stay as strong as we have, and still continue today.
Sure.
So it's pretty cool. I like it.
Well, if you divide, it's tougher. If you're stronger, you're better in numbers. I mean, you're way better. I mean,
yeah.
As a couple and dynamic, you guys bring a uniqueness to your company that is different than other people. And you know, and some of the challenges of working with your spouse too is that, you know, you bring it to work and you bring it home sometimes, and everybody says it's not tough not to, but I mean, when your phone's still ringing 24 hours off the day and everything's still going on, and when we have to go jump and go drive and do all the other things too, it's hard not to bring it home. So it's how do you guys deal with those difficulties?
Man, we just day to
day.
Yeah.
Every day is a different day.
Yeah.
So there's not a rule that you don't like talk about it after this time, or we're gonna
sometimes like in the evening we'll like shut it down. Like 9 o'clock, we're done
talking
about
off.
Work.
Don't do
yeah, we'll
anything.
Just make it'll be some point in the evening. Yeah. It might be earlier.
You shut your phone off?
Oh yeah.
Put it on silent, put it downstairs on charger, just get it out of your face.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's so easy to grab it. And so, I mean, it just never stops ringing. I'll go down there at 10 o'clock and I'll have 17 missed text messages, you know, and it's like,
Figure out what's important. Yeah.
But you, how did you get there? Because there's people that are like having a heart attack right now because they wouldn't even like not have their phone more than a foot away, especially in a 24-hour business. Like, what day, what happened that day where it's like, I'm going to put my phone downstairs? Because it happened one day and then it just became a thing.
And it just became a thing, absolutely. My management team, I've entrusted my whole existence with my management team. We have everything in place from the CPAs that are overlooking them, or my accountant. And then, you know, of course, my son's involved in it, and my daughter, and my best friend, Kenny. They're all part of this management team, and Phil. So they're, you know, I got everybody that has my best interest looking after everything every day. Gives me the peace of mind that I don't have to do it. These guys can handle employee problems. Unless it's something major, that's when it's time really to get me involved.
Sure.
But, until then, and I've really just tried my hardest to disconnect. Believe me, it still happens, Athena. Just the other day, I got yelled at by all of them for sticking my nose into business that I shouldn't be getting my nose involved in.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And they all told me, hey, we don't need you on this. Please stay out of it. Oh, okay. Fine. Perfect. That's what I like to hear, you know, take care of it. Stuff I don't need to be dealing with.
Well, you know, and Athena and I have talked about this a lot, and I'm sure you guys see the same thing, is sometimes we are the person that is blocking progress. And when I say that is because we 100%. Think that we're the only ones that can make those decisions and do things, we find out that we are not. I mean, we are holding progress up, not doing it, because we can only handle so much as ourselves.
Yeah.
And we can only take so much until we blow a gasket. And if we blow a gasket, it's not good. So if we have other people to be able to take some of that steam away from us, take some of that heat off of us, and then let us help run the business or guide the business than being in the business the whole time.
And that's what our job, I think, really ultimately is just being the person behind the driver's seat steering, you know, and the engine's doing its work, and it's all the people are doing their work, and, you know, you just got to guide them. And I don't believe really that you can just hire one manager that's going to step into your business and run it the way you do. You have to train this person. They have to watch you do what you do to make it work. And you have to do that. And that's one thing that we feel like we've done very well with our management team, is being involved and showing them and telling them, and but then also letting them make decisions and mistakes as well, so they can learn from them.
Yeah, the biggest thing is the mistakes. You know, I was when I was talking to Paul about this a long time, and I was like, you know, you have so many people that work under you. How do you do that? And he goes, Charlie, if I fix everything, they'll never learn. He goes, I don't let them make the big mistakes. I let them make the small mistakes. And he goes, like, I see the train wreck coming, and I let it happen, because if I don't, then I can't come to them and say, okay, what would we have done differently? Yeah. What could we have done to make this not happen?
Correct.
Because they'll never grow from there. And that was like one of the toughest things for me too, is like letting go in some of the reins. Like, you know, back in the day when we were much smaller and we were under 100 trips a day, I would be assigning the trips to the contract drivers, making sure it went out evenly, make sure that right person went out there. And then it was really hard for me to let that go. And then the team was like, hey, you know, and you went, and then I let them go. And then I watched it for a little bit, and they'd always ask me a little bit help, you know, would you look at this grid and see if we how we can do it? And it's so easy for us because we've done it for so long. You know, we're 18 years, 20 years into it. we know how to look at it immediately and say, well, geez, we have the same vehicle going out four different times, but we have four different drivers taking it. We're not out of vehicles. We're just, we're assigning every vehicle to the whole entire fleet. Let's just use the same driver for the whole time and the same vehicle. And it was easy for us to see, but then diverts, the same thing with me. I've let go of some of the divert stuff to Steven, and really realizing I don't have to be there for every divert. As long as I got a good competent person, how I can teach them and do it. And I think you guys are in the same boat. It's like, you're right. I don't think in our size of company, one manager would be able to handle everything in there and still be sane at the end of the day. You have to have a team. And I think it's different for the owners, because we have that mentality that failure is never an option.
Right.
I mean, we're going to make it happen no matter what. And if it takes us sweat, tears, we're going to make it happen. But some of the employees sometimes don't have that same concept. Like, okay, maybe we can let this one go. And we're like, well, we mean to let it go. But I think one of the hardest things for me to let go was, and the whole thing was, is like, we have inventory. We have vehicles here. Why are they not out?
Yes.
Why are we letting this trip go? You know, we can have somebody in overtime. But the hardest thing for me was realizing that that guy had a trip 9 hours from now, and it was a 12-hour day for him, or a 14-hour day. Yeah. Am I really going to put that guy in that position to pick up that extra $250 And when we figured out we can actually say no to some trips, mm-hmm. that's where I think a lot of the things change for us. Like, okay, we don't have to have that trip. Don't get me wrong. I get some clients that called me up, and we had one just the other day. Yuri called me up from Seattle and said, Charlie, I got 15 people sick at the airport, and your dispatch says they can't handle it. Is there anything you can do? And I just happened to be having some lunch with Athena upstairs, and I was eating. I was in shorts, sandals, a polo. And I'm like, Yuri, I'm in shorts, sandals, and a polo right now, but I got some jeans downstairs. I got a vest. I'll throw it on. He goes, Charlie, these are the coolest people. They're going on a trawler. They don't care how you show up. Just as long as you come and pick them up and take them to the hotel. I'm like, yeah. So within 10 minutes, I jumped in a motor coach, didn't check real quick, got it in there, picked them up within 30 minutes, had them in the hotel. And it was just like, you know, it was no big deal. But it was just one of those things that, you know, you're just like.
Yuri would have done that for us, though.
100%. Yeah. And he, you know, he's our Seattle guy. He takes care of us in Seattle. He gives us rides back and forth, and we drop stuff off of the port and all this other stuff. And I think, in fact, I've had you guys get a ride with him before.
We have a couple Seattle guys, but he's one of them.
Yeah. Might have been the one that took us in the.
Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I deal with the same situations. And Jess from
Seattle,
too.
Yeah.
They call me all the time. Oh, your dispatch. Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Your dispatch said they can't do it. Pete from Princess Tours. Your dispatch said they couldn't come get my bus broke down in Delta Junction. I'm like, hold on, Pete. We'll come get it. Hold on a minute. Let me find out what's going on.
You know, that's just our team members knowing what they can handle, what they can't. Yes. And then that's where we kind of step in, I think, as the owners and some of the other people. It's like, hey, we got some key clients that we have to take care of.
Well, and you help them see a pathway through, like when we call the hotels and all the rooms are sold out. Well, we talk to the general manager and he knows where we can move a few pieces to like make that happen.
And switch drivers, switch out who it is.
You want the team to have a level of authority to where they're running it and making decisions, but then there's this other piece where it's like, oh, I didn't even see that.
Yes,
that makes sense now. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Or let me move that
learning moment, right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
And I think the first thing that I did was let go of dispatch, because I was just like that, Charlie. I was hands-on dispatch. Every time I walked in that office, I'm looking at the board going, why is this guy sitting out here? Why is this person not doing this? That kind of stuff. I had to step away from it because I was stepping on everybody's toes doing it. And the last thing that I want to be is a boss that micromanages anybody else. I just don't feel that's the right way to do it. I've always created a good work environment that people wanted to come to work, and a happy work environment. So that's where we're at.
I remember kind of bringing Kentucky Fried Chicken to you guys while you were dispatching the office and you were trying to eat a piece of chicken. Jess was running something else. And the whole, that's when we were just getting the air conditioning into the building. We're getting some coolness inside there because it was so hot because all the computers and, you know, but we go back to sometimes revert back to our old ways because we think, okay, this is broke. We're going to fix it. And sometimes we are the fix, or us just getting out of the way of everybody, you know? And
I don't want to be that guy for my life, Charlie and Dana. I don't want to be in charge of all these people. I don't want to do this until I die.
We want to be like the creatures. We want to go out and just go motorhome.
I want to go get in my motorhome. I want to travel. I want to be able to go enjoy life. I mean,
I'm so proud of you bought a
today,
Jeep.
Live for today, because tomorrow's not promised.
Well, you know, but didn't it take all of that contrast from your earlier years to kind of dial in what you do want? Because I feel as though there's a lot of dialogue that happens around what you don't want. Well, I don't want to. I don't want that in a vehicle. I don't want that in a house. I don't want that in a partner. But it's like, okay, well, what do you want? And you're like, I don't know. I heard this great analogy that for our industry, it's like getting into a cab and deciding, like telling the cab driver, don't take me to the airport. Okay, well, where do you want to go though? Well, I know you don't want to go there. And I feel like that's kind of, that's the story, is it's like you know what you don't want now. And so it's opened up this expanse to what do I want? What makes me happy?
What do I want? What makes me happy? Yeah. And honestly, I probably could speak for Jessica too. I don't even know what that is. Without change or without doing it, you just will never know, right? So a lot of times life is just the experience of taking the leap and seeing where it takes you. We're really looking towards, okay, I guess I'll back up. So I've always had the vision back from when I was working for my dad at a young age that I always wanted to create a business that would just run itself, that I didn't have to be day-to-day operations all the time. it's taken this long to get it to that point. As of right now, I feel like we're there. And then what do I do? Go start another business. Now we have another business we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But yeah, so we're ready to step back, maybe be half retired lifestyle, still come up and do the management and quarterly meetings and, you know, continue all the financial stuff, but and just
Athena calls back. That as the president and the vice president of the company and just running the employees, you know, just run your main people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not even running the main people. No. It's I look at my role as I oversee the finances, mm-hmm. and I basically encourage the leadership team. Mm-hmm. So what obstacles can I help you remove? How can I help you see that in a different way? We do learning exercises together. Mm-hmm. We're in book studies together. We're creating new neural pathways with the different things that we're learning and how we're sharing, you know, each other's perspective. And so most of the momentum meetings that I have with the leadership team, a very small part of it is operations. We do talk about what do we need to discuss around the personnel and the structure, but it's really more about what's going on with you, how are things going at home, what are you looking forward to right now, and what is the next stage for you in your life?
Yep.
And I don't remember anybody like pulling me aside and going, hey, let's just map out a plan to happiness for you. You know, what makes you happy? It's remarkable to me how I have these five questions that I ask everybody at every meeting just about, and it's the same five questions, but it's questions that if you don't have somebody asking you, you don't even think about it. And sometimes it can be busy here and they won't have an answer for me. Like, what was great last week? Like, what's a point in your life last week that was great? Was awesome. And they're like, oh my gosh, I got to really think about that. And I'm like, really? We answer this question every week.
Getting up on that wake surfboard. Oh, that was the best time of my life.
That was your victory last week. You were there.
So 4 minutes of fame, baby. 4 minutes of fame.
There'll be a clip here. We'll get Nathaniel to put a clip up right here of, yes. So Justin got up on the board and like.
If he'd had more experience captain, he'd probably done it a little quicker. We were just,
No.
Justin was on, he was our number two boarder getting up. So in the first one, it had lots of experience and told me how to do it. So I was trying to recap it.
Oh, no, I don't think it had anything to do with you. It had to do with me. Yeah, but.
That was great.
No, it was fun. Not to change the subject. No. That was the best part of my last week or whenever.
That was awesome. Yes. That was last week.
But, you know, sense of accomplishment. You'd be surprised when nobody else is asking that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like to stop and take a minute and go, yeah. Because those are the little glimpses of happiness in our life. It's like, yeah, that was awesome, actually. And so if I do more of that, it's going to equal more happiness.
Yes.
And something that I didn't realize when I was younger, especially starting out in business, was I didn't realize that how I felt about things was really my internal regulator to life.
Okay.
It was more like this idea that, oh, well, you just go and grind. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter if you're tired, you're fatigued, you're in a bad mood or whatever. Don't think about that. Just go get the job done. And now I realize, oh my gosh, when I have that feeling of, like I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
When if I wince at the thought of a request, that does not get done. Like I don't put that on my list. I just don't do things that make me think about, like, the goal is to stay in this momentum of happiness, positivity, like encouragement, so that I can be that for others also. So why didn't I figure that out when I was younger? That, hey, when I do things I don't like to do, when I'm compromising what I think is right, when I'm like going in all of these opposite directions, no wonder it creates misery and fatigue, you know?
Yeah.
I think that some of that stuff is in our, we have to go through it, just like we're letting our employees go through some of the things that they're going through. We have to learn it too. And fortunately, I don't think we had a lot of guidance. At least I know we didn't in starting the transportation company. I mean, we didn't.
I didn't either.
Yeah. We were feeling it out the whole way and grabbing on to mentors.
Ups and downs.
Oh, 100%.
Ups and downs.
Like an EKG.
Holy mackerel, man. It's an emotional roller coaster businesses, especially anybody trying to start at a, you know, start a new business.
Sure.
Or just, you know, you're young and you're trying to run a business. It's
big emotional. Learning curve.
Holy mackerel, man. It's, I know why a lot of people don't do it. And I know why there's more workers than there are business owners.
And businesses, if they get past that 3-year mark, they're considered
3 to 7 years. Yeah.
Out of the woods.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you like remember as a young person in business that was just, it was a hard challenge that you had to overcome?
Respect. Mm. Gaining the respect of older employees that I had working for me or older shops that we were working for. It was really a big respect issue. My dad had a lot of respect when he had the business. But he grew it too. That's all he could ever manage was, you know, just a certain amount of people, you know, and some people are just built that way. But yeah, it's definitely the respect portion of it. Building at a young age was really tough.
Was it
gaining
just
the respect?
They thought because you looked young that you were just young and
because
dumb,
I was young and I had guys that were working for me that were older than me and they were like, wow, how is this guy doing this? And I'm over here driving, working for him kind of situation. So it made me dig really deep and made me work harder than anyone else to gain that respect. And now that I'm older, you know, of course I have the respect, but my son's dealing with it now too. Because he's young, he's 26, and he's having a problem right now with respect with all the older guys.
You know, and Dakota's such an easygoing guy. You know, that's the real good thing about him, and he's very knowledgeable. So, you know, he's going to find his way, 100%.
Oh,
I believe 100%. That, and the team will too. And as you see him working with the heavies and all the other stuff that he's doing, I mean, he's he's out there working just as hard as them, if not harder, and I think he's gaining that respect from them. Yeah, so,
what advice did you give him? What did you tell him? Just hang in there?
I just told him to hang in there, man, and don't be afraid to do whatever job is needed. You cannot send somebody to go do a job that you are not willing to do yourself.
Sure.
It's just what it is. If we have to go shovel poop out in the middle of the road, we have to pick up a dead body, we have to, whatever it is, you have to go do it. Because if you don't do it, you can't expect somebody else to do it.
Or at least be willing to do it.
Be willing to do it. Yeah. I mean, we've all done it. And he's done a really good job of it, so... he's got my respect 100%.
He's got mine
too. He shows up to work at 8.
Yeah.
You know.
8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Is it a clock puncher thing?
Yeah,
it's 9 o'clock. Kinda like...
Oh, I overslept this morning. You know, we all have that, right? So, but yeah.
It's funny. I'll tell the guys here to clean the toilets, and they're like, well, why don't you clean the toilet? I'm like, all right, I'll go grab it, and I'll clean the toilet. And they're like, I can't believe the boss cleaned the toilet.
Yeah.
But it has to get done.
Does the same thing.
I go out there and wash the tow trucks.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not above washing the tow trucks.
Come it's on, so man. Funny because so many people give me shit about washing. Why are you washing cars? This is mindless. This is easy. It's something I enjoy doing.
Sense of satisfaction.
Yeah. And at the end of it, it's clean. Yes, yeah. Yes. And nobody told me anything to do. And I'll go over your place and see you washing things.
Yeah.
Big Will and hanging out there with them and doing that stuff too.
And cleaning
sometimes that's just important for us and let our team know that we're out there just helping them there. I mean, I tell Athena sometimes, I'll go down to Luigi's and go buy like 30 or 40 pizzas. You know, they're $7, $10 pizzas. No big deal.
Yeah.
I'll go buy those and I'll go find all my drivers and go find out where they're at and see how they're doing. I'll just hand them pizzas and say, hey, here's some food for you guys. And, or when they're super swamped, they'll see me out there at midnight. You're driving with them and they're like, boss, you're out here too? I'm like, hey, we need some extra trips. And they're like, I can't believe the boss was out here driving last night. And I'm like, why? Yeah. The company still has to run.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're short employees, we have to make sure it doesn't happen. We can't just not go, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm more the worker bee, kind of like Justin, than sitting behind a computer, because that just drives me nuts.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm not a computer guy.
No.
Not a phone guy, not a computer guy.
I think that's why you and I
can do it well, but that's not what I do.
I can do it. I can't do it well. I can do it.
To a certain degree.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe not the computer part, but I can answer the phone and dispatch.
I can answer too. And I can send it to the right person. Yeah. Somebody called me up one day and says, Charlie, I can't believe you can't put in a reservation. I'm like, if this is what the company is leading to about me putting a reservation, we're in a lot more trouble than you guys think we are. I mean, if you want me to understand how to put a credit card in and take all this information, I could write it down on a piece of paper.
Yep.
We used to have these great cheat sheets that we'd do it, then we'd give it to the people to do it.
Going back.
I'm going back, but that's where we learned. I mean, that's where we started off, and that's what we learned and how we did it. I remember when we used to get in trouble for MacBooks. We used to take a Xerox copy of the MacBook page back when they had the Anchorage MacBook. We picked up this guy one day, and one of my drivers had a map, and he's like, where'd you get that map? And he's like, our dispatch copies these for it. Every one of them has a copyright written on there. And he called me the next day. He's like, hey, you guys got to buy some more books or I'm going to nail you for copyright infringement. I'm like, what? Is that a thing? He's like, oh, you can't copy these things and give them. You need to buy one for every limo and all your cars. I'm like, well, how much are these things? They're like $900 a piece back in the day.
Yeah, we used to have them too.
But, you know, I mean, that was the evolution that we had back in the day when we were there and we were doing it. So it was just different.
So back on the question you asked, the evolution of Vulcan, of course, from then to now. So Jessica really brought a lot to the table when we started hanging out and she got involved in the business. Prior to her coming involved, and I think, Athena, you were probably involved with Jessica on a lot of this stuff too, going digital with everything, and I was against it, and, you know, because I'm a paper guy. I've always been a paper guy. Paper receipts, paper log sheets for dispatching, everything. And, you know, she really opened my mind to a lot of that. And then I learned also a lot of stuff from you and Charlie with the way you guys were running your business. So, you know, I take bits and pieces of everybody that I know in business and I'm like, oh, how can that benefit me? And then, of course, wasn't the guy that could all put it together. She's the one that put it all together.
Yeah.
And got all those platforms up and running and got us to where we're at on Ring Central. Thank God we have Ring Central. I mean, we use that recording. We have to go back and listen to recordings all the time.
Sure.
All the time.
You know, and have the ability to answer the phones from anywhere is just wonderful. Technology is crazy, right? And that's another thing that has really projected or moved our business forward too, was going all digital with everything. So thank you for everything that you've helped us with along the way too, because it's definitely been a team effort with quite a few people.
Yeah. And you guys look at your competition, I don't think any of those guys are going quite to the levels you guys are. I mean, And they're still stuck in some of the older transitions and things they are because they're not willing to get out of their own way. And it's their way and they're still ticketing and doing things. I mean, I can't even remember where the last place I was at and they had an old time clock there. And when a call came in, they stamped it in that time clock. I'm thinking, well, shit, that's a blast pass. Where'd you get one of those? I saw those in 1970. Where'd you get that back? You know, they retro now? What's going on?
You know, Glenn that owns AT&W. Yeah. I've known him since I was a little kid and, I still go to his office today, and his impounds that he has in his yard are written on those little cards.
Oh, yeah, the white cards.
And you can stamp the year, make, model, and all that stuff on there, and you handwrite it out, and he's got his Rolodex on there, and he's got all his impounded cars in his little Rolodex there. And I was like, Glenn, and he asked me all the time, Justin, how do you go and do all this stuff and be away? I'm like, everything's digital, Glenn.
Sure.
Get with the program. I can access anything from anywhere in the world I'm at any time.
Yeah.
It's whether I know how to log into it is one thing, but
you can access it. Jess can access it.
Yeah, she has access to it. She has access to all the banking online. Yeah. We can transfer money. We can pay. I mean, whatever it is, wherever we're at.
When I think COVID taught us that is that we don't have to be in person for everything anymore. Everything was so Zoomed and everything was so we couldn't be so close together that we still had to run businesses, but we had to do it a little bit more remotely and doing it. And I think you've seen brick and mortar. I mean, you see all these different offices now that have so much more offices opening now because people were letting offices go. They were paying an astronomical amount of money. And, you know, and now we have some overseas employees now that we didn't think we'd see, you know, 5-7 years ago, having somebody dispatching from Syria or wherever else we have people at now.
Philippines.
The Philippines, Serbia. Serbia. Yeah. Serbia, we actually have dispatchers that are dispatching with two-way radios from other countries.
And we're looking talking into that here. Service now.
Yeah.
Some of maybe our night dispatch.
And that's what we did.
Because it's hard to get employees.
Well, and you know what? I mean, we go back to Paul Landis, you know, brought us back there. Look at what he did for GCI. I mean, right before the pandemic, he started switching things over because he saw the writing on the wall for the employees and how to keep them. And his services, he felt that could have been better, his customer response levels, everything else like that.
Well, he felt like his customers were suffering, and he was the responsible person for that area of the business. And so he had to make a decision. He couldn't just keep letting it roll.
And he had a whole entire building right at the end of Hartzell here on the left-hand side. That was their whole call center. That thing was completely filled. You'll see the GCI colors there. Mm-hmm. If you go down Saddlewood and take a left, it's the first building on the right-hand side. And that was all of their customer service agents there. And, and
that's the largest employer in the state, right?
Yeah, one of the largest employers, mm-hmm. private employers in the state is GCI. Wow. So him moving that call center and then talking to us. And Athena and I used to have, we happened to be at the GCI Lodge when we were there, and we met some of the people that were from the call centers.
They were managing the call centers?
Yeah, they were the ones in charge of it. And they were telling us about it. And I was like, really? That's interesting. You know, we're really talking about it. And then Athena actually called GCI the other day and had the most pleasant experience ever. Like, the guy's like, is there anything else I can do to make your day? Is there anything else I can do?
He said keywords like, it is my job to make sure that you're taken care of. Did you need anything else? In perfect English.
I mean,
and I was like, no, I think you covered everything. Thank you so much. And he's like, and it was just this extended level of customer service that was so noticeable in a space right now where there's a lower level right now in America.
Oh yeah.
And so it just like shines well high and above. And I think we want that great customer service in our business.
Yeah.
And we would love it if the people that lived in our community were the
or our country.
People that would bring it.
Country.
However, we still need it.
We need respect back.
We do.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I mean, just seeing that level of there. And now Athena and I have a personal assistant that is working for us.
She lives in the Philippines.
She lives in the Philippines. And she is our personal assistant. So she has a punch list of everything that needs to be done, what we can do. And she works a split shift during different times. And we give her projects and things to do. And she takes care of it. She answers to Athena or myself. And we talk to her. And she doesn't deal with the rest of the team for the most part. But like, if I got an important email, a text will come up and says, Charlie, look at your email.
She checks Charlie's email.
She checks it because I don't check it near as much. If you send me a text, I get it right away. Email, right. I'll check it at least once or twice a day. That's
so
it.
So Mark and Shane needs attention. Yeah. So
but yeah, I mean, and how great. And the affordability was there. And you know, these people are super great and happy to have a position and a job that's providing for them and their family. And, you know, I'm excited about this whole thing about having these new employees that we're getting because, you know,
we have them.
We have
been
them.
Working for us for many months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charlie acts like it was something new.
Well, it is. Exactly. It's newer than our 24 years of doing operations the same way. We have not done this for a full year. We haven't even done it for a full 6 months yet. This is just something that came on that Robin helped us with. And Athena was really backbone in this thing. And our team was a little bit hesitant at first, just like we were. But again, we got in the way, we were getting in the way of this whole thing. I was like, we're going to hire locals. We're going to take care of making sure locals. But when you can't get the locals to come to work for you, what is your second option? You either have to downsize or you have to take less work on, or you have to take things on, and you get this management team here. I kind of call it feeding the beast. We have to have so much work to keep all these people employed, to keep the building on, to make our margins what we need to. So we have to have that level of management and engagement and employees.
Well, really, I think the thread through my entrepreneur like journey has been to keep curiosity open. And so because of that, I'm always learning interesting things about interesting things that no one else cares about. And I will just trip my way through to somebody will say something about this book, and then I'll pick that up, and then I'll pick that up, and it like comes into these like ideas that just come about. And I'm never afraid to try new things. Like I tell the team, let's run the experiment and see what happens. And Charlie's like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's talk. You and I need to talk about that more. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're not doing that yet.
Yeah.
But really, that is part of what makes life fun for me.
But we have to process it, though, too. I mean,
yeah.
You guys process things at a different level in certain things.
It takes
things.
Us like 6 months to
That's
process
true.
It.
There is that process
days.
Piece. However, it's like when somebody comes to you with an idea and you collaborate together, and then you're like, oh, yeah, let's do this. Why didn't we think about this before? And then go try it. And it's successful. Either way, you win, though. Either it's this great success that catapults the business moving forward, or it was an unintended outcome that you learned from, but the team member that got to deploy it feels even more empowered.
Even more empowered, yeah.
But what you're ultimately teaching the humans around you is how to step into courage.
Mm-hmm.
And in a place where fear is basically underlining everything everywhere, it's like, how do you denounce that fear in that situation and step into courage? Because if everybody just took one little step into courage, like everything would be different all the time.
100%.
And it's nothing is going to burn to the ground. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like it's the universe just doesn't operate that way.
No, but, you just do it and you figure it out. Yeah. If it doesn't work, then you regroup and you move on the other direction.
Exactly. And it's kind of letting go of the how sometimes. There's been so many things that have developed over time because I couldn't see the whole picture, but I saw the first step. And so it's like, I have a vision of getting to here. I don't know how the heck we're going to get there. But I think I have kind of like a little dot, like a rough draft. Sometimes Charlie and I call that
all the crumbs.
The shitty rough draft. That's my shitty rough draft. Just bear with me. We're working through the puzzle.
It's the first rough draft. I was like, well, how do we get from here to here? And how do we go from 6 to 42? Where's the rest of it? And she's like, it's my first shitty rough draft. Hold on, let me redo this. And she'll come up with the next one. I'm like, okay, now we're up to 20. Now we're just 20 missing. But it takes time.
And I think it takes courage as a couple, too. Yeah. There's times where he's just like, we're not doing it. And I'm like, I think I'm going to do it anyway.
I think I'm going to do it anyway.
And occasionally,
she gets yourself in trouble.
Okay, I will get in trouble for it. But that's another piece of like my own courage. Like it's not about being this like I'm not against what Charlie's saying. I just see things in a different way.
It's about
and sometimes I know I have to just like kind of step forward. And when I work off of that. I work off of my own regulator inside. When I know that I just have that feeling where I'm aligned with my gut feeling, I just listen to it like every single time. Mm-hmm. I stopped making excuses for why I just need to ignore that. It's like trusting yourself in this like whole new level. And sometimes it means not doing what he says.
Yeah.
And I have to weigh that. I'm like, okay, is this big enough to where he's not going to like it and I'm going to do it anyway and I'm going to probably hear it for a little while, but will it be the best thing for the business?
Right,
will it best be for the team? And and yeah, that's those are the things that I think about. Like, I don't just try to like make him crazy.
Yeah.
That's not the goal.
Already
no.
There.
I'm already there.
And you know... I live my life fairly non-planned. I don't know what word you'd put for that, but sure. I'm not a planner.
Spontaneous.
Day to day, very spontaneous.
Variety.
She is very much everything. Probably a couple years ago. Yeah.
What's that?
I had a plan every day.
Yeah, she's a planner. Everything has to be lined out, but she's. We've kind of morphed into this now half plan, half spontaneous lifestyle, maybe a little bit, and seems to be working for us, because it's just kind of...
It is.
But I feel you on the making the decisions and the gut feeling, because I get that same gut feeling too, you know, do we do it, do we do it? And you can sit there and pick it apart and forever and then not do it, but then you're never going to know if it was going to work. Or I did that with all my heavy wreckers that I bought and the rotator, you know, because that would have been the biggest expense I ever expended in my life. You know, it was $500,000. And, you know, I was on the beach in Hawaii when I made that purchase and I probably puked in the sand. I can't remember that. But, you know, it was one of those things where you know, do I do it? And you just roll the dice and you go, please don't bite.
You know, I think that if you have any kind of relationship with a higher power or God or whatever you want to call that that entity in your life, you're in alignment with that when you're doing what you know is right inside and you're out of alignment with that best situation when you are feeling like, oh my gosh, this is a bad choice and I shouldn't be here right now. Like, everybody has been in that place where it's like, I should just leave right now and stop whatever's going on. And when you don't listen, it usually pay.
Yeah. No, but I think I think so far we've made all the right decisions and we're going to keep it. So what we got is working and we're going to keep rolling with it.
There you go.
And just keep moving forward. Well, pretty awesome,
right?
Thank you, guys.
What episode is this, Athena?
Joining us. You tell me.
17.
Okay. 17. Yeah, 17. Well, we're going to have a part two with these guys, and we're going to dive into what it's like to partner together and share some cool insight into that. So make sure you watch episode 18.
Yes.
Oh, man. All right. It's going to be fun.
Okay.